on. You know what I'm talking about. All right, there we go. Do you have power? A new series we are starting today called Do You Have Power? Turn to your neighbor and ask them that question. Do you have power? Say, thank the Lord, it's snow instead of ice. And so you do have power today, yes. We've been to church before when we didn't have power. We know what we're talking about. We're not talking about, obviously, electrical power today, but we're talking about a spiritual power that God is wanting every one of us to live our lives. There's a power that God gives us. Matter of fact, he talks about this when we talked about the Holy Spirit. He says that we shall receive what? We shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us to be his witness. And today God has given us the power of his Holy Spirit to be his witness. And there's a certain power that God has given every one of us today to live our lives. It's this power that God is wanting to do. And I believe today God still wants to do miracles in our midst. How many believe that God wants to do miracles? God wants to do a power in our life and vision. He wants to do power in our finances. He wants to do powerful things in our marriages. He wants to do powerful things in our lives. There's so many powerful things that God is wanting to do. We're walking around without tapping into the full potential of the power of the Holy Spirit has for us. Now, we know that we have the Holy Spirit. We spend a lot of time teaching about that. We spend a lot of time digging into the power of the Holy Spirit, what's behind it. But now we know, why do we have power? And why is it important that we have this power? We're going to dig into a lot of this. And I just got a lot of good messages to share with you. And I'm really glad you're here, because today you're going to be blessed. God has given me some fresh things to give to you today. And, you know, the first thing we're going to talk about today is this thought, does God need me? Does God need me? And we're talking about full power. Does God need me? And you ever thought about that statement? Does God need me? Does God really need me? When it comes to powerful, then all-powerful God, does God really need me? That's the question we're trying to answer. Does God need me? Let's go right into our first point today, which the answer is this. God doesn't need anything. You ever thought about that? God really doesn't need anything. Look today, God is self-existent, God is self-sufficient, and God is self-sustaining. Let me say it again. God is self-existent, God is self-sufficient, and he is self-sustaining. And today, you know that when God called me, and I remember very vivid that God speaking to me, and God called me to what I felt like was going to be a life of ministry for him. I remember God saying, Gene, I want to use you. And I very plainly said, God, you don't need me. That's what I said to God. I said, God, you don't need me. I'm not cut out for this. There's two things I said I would never do. And one was I'd never be a pastor. And the second was I'd never be on Facebook. And I told my wife this week, I'm thinking about getting on Facebook and I'm already a pastor. So I don't know. You know, but you know, there's things in our life. And I said, God, you don't need me. And God said to me, I need you. And I said, God, you're wrong. I was going to explain to God, God, you're theologically, you're really wrong here, because even though I know I slept a lot in church growing up, I still paid attention. And I realized that according to Scripture, that, you know, you really don't need anything. You're self-sufficient. You're self-existent. And you really don't need anybody. Your will is going to be accomplished no matter what. And God said, no, Gene, you're wrong. I need you. And I was like, all right, God, turn to Acts 17:25. I'll talk about the Scripture right here. Look what it says in Acts 17:25. It says, talking about God. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives all life and breath and all things. The same, basically, you know, that God doesn't need anything. You know, he's the one who gives it all. And so we're in need of him. And so as I thought about this, this is what I've come to conclusion when I said, does God need me? Number two, God decided to need you. God has decided to need you and to need me. God has decided through his free will. He didn't have to choose this, but he chose this. That God has chosen to need me. He didn't have to, but he has chosen to need you. God doesn't need you to exist. God needs you to coexist. Let me say it again. God doesn't need you to exist on your own, and God doesn't need you for him to exist, but he's designed for both of us to coexist together. That's why we were created, was to coexist with God. He's never called us to live away from him. We were always called to live with him. And he created us because he wanted us to coexist with him. So God decided to need us. Does he need our power? No, he doesn't. In principle, yes. But in all reality, no, because he's all powerful. He's all sufficient. But he decided out of his own free will that he was going to be dependent upon you and I. that he was going to use you and I and wanted to use you and I. He needs you and I to be his partners here on earth. We have the attitude that whatever will be, will be. You ever had the attitude before? It doesn't make a difference what I do. That's kind of my attitude when God first called me. It was like, it doesn't make a difference if I say yes or no, because whatever will be, will be. Whatever will happen, will happen. That's kind of what I thought. It's just going to, whether I do my part or not, it's going to happen because God is all sovereign, man. His will is going to be accomplished no matter what. And that's the wrong attitude, because God does have a will to accomplish, and his will is to accomplish it through who? Through me and through you and the person next to you. God has designed his will to be accomplished through all of us. And the attitude that whatever happened will happen is so untrue, and it's such the wrong attitude, because it is a life that leads to a powerless life. Because God is wanting to link you up to his power. God's wanting to jump you up, man. And so this message today is geared toward building a foundation on the power. How many know that you can have the most powerful battery there out there, man? You can bring in a battery as big as this room and try to jump your car. But if it ain't hooked up to what? If it ain't got the negative hooked up right, you know what I'm talking about? If you ain't the red on the red and the black on the black, okay, ladies, in case you want to know what that means. You got to have the negative hooked up right. And you don't touch them, okay? Don't touch them together. But get it hooked up right. If it's not hooked up right, if our foundation, the very base, is not hooked up right, what's wrong? What happens? If we're not grounded right, what happens? It doesn't work, okay? There's got to be proper grounding for the things that happen. So this message of next week is really the grounding messages for us to walk in the full power that God has for us. And this very grounding message is God decided to need me. God doesn't need anything, and God decided to need me. If God wants to change my circumstances, he will. You ever heard someone say that before? If God wants to change the way I am, he will. Or if God wants to change my finances, he will. Or if God wants to change my job, he will. Or if God wants to change my marriage, he will. Or if God wants to change my health, he will. We have this attitude that if God wants to do it, he'll do it. And that's not always true. Because his will is accomplished to who? Through us. It's according to my attitude. It's according to my faith. It's according to how much I want to partner with him. It's what God can do in my life. God works when we work. Let me say it again. God works when we work. It's an attitude. I sit around and let God do it all. It's so improper. Because it's so, theologically, it's not correct. Because God works when we work. And I'll get in and show you this in the scripture even more in just a minute. Let's look at this in Genesis 2:19. The very first time we see this happening, it says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to who? To Adam, okay? The first man, to Adam, to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. Now think about this. Adam had to be a very highly intelligent man. And think about this. If God was going to create a man, now Adam wasn't created a baby to be taught. He was born a man already, fully in function. And God had already put the knowledge in him. Adam was a genius, man. Think about it. You think God's going to create someone to coexist with him who's not a genius? I mean, think about it. Adam had to have all this knowledge already put into his brain so that he could be the one beginning to teach it on to every generation. So Adam was full of all knowledge. And God said, oh, Adam, this is what I want you to do. Adam, I'm going to bring all these creatures of the earth. All these creatures are going to come to you, and you're going to name every one of them. So that was Adam's job, man. He had to name every single creature of the earth. I don't know if Adam was smoking something when he named some of the things, but I don't know. But he named every creature, man. That looks like a hippopotamus to me, Let's call this thing a giraffe. Yeah, that sounds right. He came up with all these names. I don't know how he did it, but he came up with all these different names. Why was this important? Let me ask you this. Could God name all the animals if he wanted to? God could have said, Adam, come here, son. Look at this. See that thing over there with a long neck? That's a giraffe. See that big thing over there in the water? Yeah, it's huge. That's a hippopotamus. Adam, see that thing over there with the big antlers? Yeah. That's a deer. Not only a deer, that's a buck. Pay big attention where that one is because, you'll want that one these days. Okay, watch that one go around. You can't eat meat yet, but it's going to come a time you will. So pay attention where that one's at, okay? God, if God wanted to, he could have went and took his time and just named all the animals and showed, hey, Adam, here's the animals. Let me name them all for you. But why was it important for Adam to name the animals? God told Adam, first of all, he said what? He said, Adam, you're created to what? To be ruler over things of the earth. Man was created, Adam was created to be ruler, to have dominion over the animals. And so for Adam to have dominion, he had to name them. And he had to take, step up and do his part in authority. God, you've given me this authority. God, I'm going to step in authority and I'm going to begin to name the animals because you told me to do this. And I'm partnering with you and they're going to be named this. Boom, boom, boom. You see this happening? There was an authority issue here that Adam had to step into right away and say, God, I'm going to partner with what you told me to do and I'm going to name the beasts of the field. I'm going to name the birds of the air. I'm going to name every living creature that you've told me to name because that's the authority you told me to do this in and I have the power to do it. Could God name the animals? Yes, he could. God could have told Adam to name, but he chose not to. In principle, God could not have named the animals because it was Adam's job to do this. In principle, it was God's choice to let Adam do this. Adam had to name it because he was to have authority over them. In God's kingdom, listen, and in God's kingdom, if you have any authority, if you are to have any authority, you must fulfill, first of all, your responsibilities. If you're going to walk in the authority that God has given you, then first of all, you got to step into your responsibilities. If you want to have authority in your marriage, then I got to step into the responsibilities that God's called me to live in. If I want to have authority in my finances, I got to step into the authority God's called me to live in. If I want to have authority in my health, I got to step into the faith that God's called me to live in. There's a certain place of authority God has called us to live. And I can't just sit back and say, what happens, it happens. No, there's a place of authority that God has called me to live in to tap into the power. Could God do it? Yes, he could. But he chooses not to in principle because he knows that you must first show faith to step in and say, God, I believe that you have all power in this area. God, I believe you've given me authority in this area. And God, I'm linking up and doing what you've asked me to do. And so there's a place of authority that God has called us. God has decided to need us. He doesn't have to, but he chose to. Look what Mark 6, 5 and 6 says. Now he could do no mighty works here. This is Jesus. I tell you, this is one of the most interesting scriptures in the Bible when you really think about it. This is the one place Jesus really struggled. Look what it says. Now he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled. This is Jesus. He marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in the circuit teaching. Jesus is like, man, I can't hardly do anything here. My power is limited. Now was God's power really limited? Well, in actuality, his power is not limited, is it? We know that. God could choose to do anything he wanted to do. But in principle, it was. Because in principle, man was not stepping into his place of authority of allowing Jesus to operate the way he needed to. Man's unbelief limited the power that God would operate in. Let me say it again. Man's unbelief limited the power that God chose to operate in. And he was amazed. He said, Jesus was just amazed at their unbelief. And so he just kind of dusted his feet off in town and just kind of moved on, man. I'll see you later. He just kind of healed a few people and took off. But there were so many more people who needed so many more things done there. And I'm sure it really grieved him because it was almost his home place, man. He knew of people who had been needing something from God. There's people there who really needed it. And he was unable to do the things that he knew he wanted to do. But he could not do it because man would not allow him to do it. Think about that. You ever thought about, maybe I had the power to limit God? In actuality, no. But in principle, yes. Because there's a place of authority that you and I must tap into of obedience that when we walk in, we release God's power to flow. Look at 1 Samuel 17:4. This is a story. I preached on this story many times. One of my favorite passages, the story of David and Goliath. And I tell you what, I preached on this story probably more things in my life ever. And God gave me some fresh things out of the story I want to share with you today. That I believe if you really pay attention, that God's going to speak to you as well. But it's talking about David and Goliath. And we know that Goliath was there. Let's pick it up in verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was what? 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And the shield bearer went before him. Now, don't change it there yet. Leave it right there. Now, I want you to see something. While I was reading this, God showed me something. We got six cubits. Goliath was what? 6 cubits high. Then it goes on to talk about his spearhead was 600 shekels. And then I went back and I was counting how many pieces of armor are there. There's six. Six pieces of armor are named there. So I want you to think about this. Have you ever seen these numbers before? 6 cubits high, 6 pieces of armor, and 600 shekels is what his spear weighed. Well, the number 666 kind of ring a bell to you? Okay. As I was reading that, you say, well, are you saying Goliath was the Antichrist? Goliath is not the Antichrist. But Luke's gospel teaches us, and 1 John also says this, that he said there is many Antichrists. There is an Antichrist coming that we know is the end time Antichrist. But right now that there are many spirits of the Antichrist released among the earth. And as I read this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. He said, Goliath was a representation of the Antichrist. Because Satan was using him to try to intimidate God's people. And so as I was looking at this, like, you're right, God, I was seeing this, and we'll get into more of this throughout the rest of the story. Let's go to the next page. It says, then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel, and he said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? I am not a Philistine, and you, the servants of Saul, chose what? So he says, choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants, and they shall serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now we see here that Goliath is trying to intimidate. He's talking and he says to them, choose a man for me to fight. That's what he said. Choose a man for me to fight. Why is this important? Because, listen, Satan knows this. Satan's got this figured out a long time ago. He's got this figured out a long time ago. God never works on earth unless he works through a man. When I say man, I mean people, okay? Women, men, children, doesn't make a difference. But God never does anything great unless he chooses to use somebody to work through. And I began to think about that. I began to look at Scripture. When did God ever do something really great that he didn't use somebody to either start it or somebody's cause? He cried out to him, who prayed for him, or someone who stepped out in faith and did something. But God always worked through people. Think about it. I challenge you to go back to Scripture and look and see when God did a miraculous miracle and did things that he didn't use somebody's faith to do it. He didn't use somebody's prayer to do it. He didn't use somebody who stepped out and said, God, you can use me. You can't find it in the Scripture. I could not find it in the Scripture where God did anything miraculous without the faith of a man, other than when he first created the heavens and the earth. Okay, but after we're here, he chose to partner with us. And from that time on, you go through and look at Scripture. You can't find anything great that he did when he did not use somebody. And so Satan knows this. Satan knows that God will never do anything on earth unless he uses a man. And so Satan says, I got it figured out, God. I'm going to use the biggest man I can find. So he calls out Goliath. He's like, listen, you go out there and you challenge him. Send me a man. Because he knows if he can intimidate you and I, if he can intimidate God's people, then he can keep us in bondage. He knows this. If he can get us scared of his man, then we will not allow God to work through us. And so Goliath is doing this. He's saying, listen, choose you a man. Send him to me. Who's this man? Send me a man. Satan knows that God will only use his power according to our faith and cooperation. So he's using Goliath to scare the people so they can limit what God wants to do through us. You know what God said to him? God says, all right, Satan, I'm not going to send you a man. I'm going to send you a boy. I don't need a man. I'm going to send a boy out there. I got a little boy on the dark side of the backside of the desert who's been singing to me, who's been worshiping to me. I'm going to send you out of this young lad, and he's going to beat you. You're going to choose the biggest. I'm going to show you it doesn't make a difference who they are. If I choose to use them, they will defeat you. If I choose to use them, I can defeat anything that you try to do here on this earth. And God chose to use a little boy in a slingshot to defeat Satan's Goliath, his giant. God chooses to use you and I. It doesn't make a difference if we're young, old, teenager, child. If we will have the faith and partner with God, God will give us power to do what he wants to do. God wants to move according to our power, according to his power, according to our faith. Let me ask you this. Could God have struck Goliath with lightning bolt and just ended all right there? When he's out there mocking the people of God, you think God could have just said, all right, Goliath, you know, here you go, take this. If I was God, that's what I would have wanted to do, you know. Right there, just give him to him, man. This zapper. Got all that metal on him. He should have metal reacts to electricity, you know. That's what I've done. But God doesn't choose, could God have done that? He could have in power, but in principle, he couldn't have. Because in principle, he chooses to use you and I. And so he had to wait until somebody was willing to step up. Then he chose to use the power through them. See how God works? He could have, yeah, he had all power. He could have done it if he really wanted to, but in principle, he couldn't. Because in principle, he's waiting on somebody to step up and say, God, I believe in you. God, I believe in your power. God, I put my trust in you. God, I believe you're bigger than this giant. God, I believe you're bigger than this, what I'm going through. God, I believe. God, I believe. God, I believe. When God looks for us to believe and to use us to operate his power through. So God didn't choose a man. God chose a boy. Many people today are upset at God because they know God's got the power, but he's not helping them. You ever know someone like that? We know that God's got the power to help me, but why does he choose not to? We say, God, why don't you do something about my marriage? God, why don't you do something about my finances? God, why don't you do something about my situation? And I've been raised in church all my life, and the one thing I heard all my life was this, that we need a move of God. How many of you ever heard that in your life? And, you know, in all reality, we do. We need that. I'm not to discredit that at all. I don't say we don't need a move of God. But I've heard that all my life. We need a move of God. And I tell you this morning, what we need, first of all, is a move of people. Missed again. What we first need is a move of people who will say, God, I'm willing to line up with what you want to do in my life. God, I'm willing to line up and put my faith in you. God, I'm willing to line up and put my finances in you. God, I'm willing to line up and give you my marriage. God, I'm willing to line up and give you my health. God, I'm willing to line up and give you everything I am. And when we do that, that moves the heart of God. That releases the power that he wants to give to you and I. God is wanting to move in his church. God is wanting to move in his people. But he's looking for somebody who says, God, come and move. Now if somebody says, we need to move with God. I think I'll go over here to this church. They got a move of God going on. Oh, 3 months later, I think I'll go over here. And they got a move of God. No, he wants someone to say, God, right now, God, I'm ready for a move of you. And God, I'm ready to put my faith in you. God, I'm ready to go after you like I never had before. God, I'm ready to sell out. God is looking for a people who are ready to move. And say, God, we know you got big things for our city. God, I know you got big things for my family. God, I know you got big things for my life. And God, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to sell out to you. I'm going to trust you to face every Goliath I come across in my life. I'm going to trust you to face every bear, every lion, whatever comes in my pathway. God, I am trusting in you. And as I do that, God says, you know what? I'm looking for somebody to partner with. I'm looking for somebody in the four states right now. I'm looking for some people. I'm looking for a church. I'm looking for people that I can continue to pour my power out through. I'm looking for somebody with some big vision. I'm looking for somebody with some big faith. I'm looking for somebody who has the faith to want to do something. God is looking. God is looking for us to partner with him so that he can release his power. And as a parent, we try to teach our children this all the time, don't we? When we do this all the time, think about it. As parents, we teach our children this. Our children come to us, you know, I don't know why God didn't help me get a good grade on my test. You're like, if you hadn't stayed up all night playing video games and texting on your phone, maybe you would have got something accomplished if you studied. I don't know why God doesn't give me a job. I don't know if God didn't help me get a good job. Well, maybe if you quit being lazy and learn to take a shower and brush your teeth before you went into the interview. Maybe you learn how to dress right when you went in to get a job. The guy would help you get a good job. We try to teach our kids these things, don't we? But we're the same way spiritually. We're the same way, aren't we? We're the same way. When is God going to help me with my finances? Well, maybe when you stop stealing from God and pay your tithe and offering, maybe he'll help you in your finances. When is God going to help me in my marriage? Well, maybe when you quit being a jerk, sir, and treat your husband and treat your wife like God's told us to, then maybe he'll come in and help you out. Oh, come on. You know this is better than I'm preaching today. Some of you right now thinking, my neighbor who's not here, I really need to be here today. I'm not sure we could all think about 10 people right now need to be here right now. But God has got us here today. And listen, God is looking for us to move. God is wanting to do something in my marriage. But first of all, I got to say, God, I want to learn to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I want God to move my husband, change my husband. Well, I got to learn to submit to him. I got to learn to show him the respect that I show God. I need to learn to humble myself. Listen, it goes both ways. God's looking for somebody who says, God, I'm going to put you out. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to do something. I want God to move my finances. Well, God, I'm going to learn to pay my tithes and offerings. 2010 is going to be a new year. I'm getting my family out of debt. And first of all, I'm going to start right now, but quit robbing you. What the scripture says, I'm going to pay you my tithe and my offering, and I'm going to step into a new blessing. Well, when God blesses me, I'll change. It doesn't work that way. Look at scripture. We never see that. God doesn't bless us first, and then we change. No, we change first, and then the blessing comes. The main blessing's already happened. He died on a cross for you and I. All the sins have already been taken care of. But I've got to come into agreement with that already, don't I? There's a false doctrine out now that many people think is true that, you know, everybody's just saved already, and they're all going to heaven. That's not true. It is true that Jesus paid the debt of all sins of the world. But I've got to partner with him by faith. Firstly, God, I believe in you. I believe your son was the Messiah. And I confess my sin before you and ask you to be Lord of my life. See, that's my part, to partner with God. And then I unlock that grace. And then I unlock that grace that he's just wanting to flood me with in my life. He's already got there stored up waiting for me. I've got to partner with him. So I partner with him at salvation. But it doesn't stop there. It's in every area of our life that God is looking. He needs you. Not just a salvation. He needs you in every area of your life. He's looking for you to partner with him so that he can release his power in your life. And the last thing today. Have you decided to need God? Have you decided to need God? Have you decided to do your part? Let me say this to you. God will never do your part. God's already done his part. But he's waiting on us to do our part. And God will never do our part for us. It doesn't happen that way. Let's say this to you as well. Our part is natural. God's part is supernatural. Our part is natural. God's part is supernatural. That God's wanting me to do the things naturally that I can do. That way he can come and bring his supernatural into it. You've heard me say before that when God brings the super with my natural, it becomes supernatural. This is where the power is unleashed. Scripture says what? I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. My part is the what? My part is to lay hands on the sick. And then what happens? God's part is supernatural. Then they recover. It doesn't say this. And then you recover and then you lay your hands on them. It doesn't make any sense that way, does it? It was a faith. God said, you got to lay your hands on the sick. He says, and then my part is they shall recover. See, God is looking for us. And we got to decide that we need God, not just a salvation. That's not what I'm talking about because we have already chosen. I think, as far as I know, the majority of us in here, we have already chosen this decision. God, I need you. God, I need you as my Savior, my life. And we stepped into that covenant relationship with God already. But I'm not talking about just a salvation. I'm talking about in life, every day, in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in your goals, in your visions. Everything for your life. God says, I want to unleash, and I've got to decide. I've got to partner with God. David had the sling. He was stoned. David did his part. David took what he had in his hand, and he used it. He slung it at Goliath. What was God's part? God took that stone and made sure it hit exactly at the one small entrance to the head of the armor that was exposed. Hit him right there in the head and killed him. I mean, David, he's good, but he's not that good. Come on, think about it. He's good, but he's not that good. David did his part, and God made sure that stone hit exactly where it needed to hit. He killed Goliath with a boy in a slingshot, killing a Goliath and all that armor. I mean, think about it. David did his part. God did his part. God is looking for you and I to partner with him. Think about Moses. All Moses had to do was raise a stick. You know, we make it dramatic, you know, in the movies. Just a stick, man. You know, Moses' part was what? God told me what's in my hand to use, and behold. I mean, he said, Moses' part was what? He just had to lift a stick. What did God do? He parted the Red Sea. I mean, our part is to do the natural. God told me, you told me to do this. All right, God, I'm going to give you what I have. I'm going to lift it up by faith. God's part was to blow into it. God does the supernatural when we do the natural. When we put our trust in him, God's looking for someone to partner with. My part comes first. He says, I lay hands, and then they recover. Scripture says that whatever I bind on earth, then what happens? What happens then? Then it's bound in heaven, right? Whatever I loose on earth, then what happens? Then it's loose in heaven. Scripture doesn't say, whatever is bound in heaven shall be bound on earth. It's, all right, I bound it in heaven, then you bind it on earth. Then I'll loose it in heaven, then you loose it on earth. No, he didn't say that. It says that I'm supposed to loose it on earth, and then it's loose in heaven. I bind it on earth, and then it's bound in heaven. When I act, God acts. When I act, God acts. When I act, God acts. Are we getting the picture here? There's a lesson here. God's do we have power today? We have all the power we need, and then some, in our Savior, in our God. But I've got to learn to move so I can move the power of God in my life. I don't sit around waiting. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. No, I move God with my prayers. I move God with my faith. I move God with my actions, putting my faith in the actions. Then I move the heart of God and release his power. Look what Romans 5 says. We're getting ready to close right here. Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Now I want to finish bringing all the story to full circle to you of this Goliath story. Okay, I thought it was pretty cool. Think about this. You ever read the scripture and thought, this is the most unfair scripture in all of the Bible? I've read a scripture and thought, this is really the most unfair scripture in all the Bible. Because Adam sinned, you and I are condemned to death. I didn't even know Adam, okay? I didn't know him from Adam. Come on, we don't talk about it. I didn't even know Adam. Don't you love it when your children get in trouble? I have 5 kids. A lot of times when one gets in trouble, they all get in trouble. It's not fair. I didn't do anything. I don't know who started it, so you're all in trouble. This is kind of why we have to do things around our house sometimes, because we just don't know who started it. They all have to be in trouble. You know, I know it probably wasn't your fault, but I don't know whose fault it was, so you're all in trouble. You're all going to bed, okay? Everybody's going to bed early. Everybody's turning off the game. Everybody's not going to watch the movie. I mean, there's times we have to do that, okay? And it's so unfair. That's the way we feel right here. It's not fair. This is not fair at all. Adam sinned, and I've got to pay the punishment. That's what it says. Therefore, just as one man's sin entered the world, death through sin, thus death spread to who? All. You and I are condemned to a spiritual death. Death. I don't know why it sounds. Death. Because of Adam. That's not fair at all, is it? I tell you, it's not fair, but it is brilliant. Think about it. It's not just unfair, it's brilliant. God had a brilliant idea. Because one man sinned, all were condemned to die. Go back to that slide where I was talking about Goliath yelling out, that second slide of that scripture there in Samuel. Look what he says then. Then he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to fight for battle? Am I not a Philistine, the servant of Saul? Look what it says. Choose you a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. I think right then, in my heart, Satan had an idea that he knew that God always works through a man. And if he could intimidate the men, not just men, but men We're talking about human beings in general. If it could intimidate us that God would never do anything he wanted to do on this earth, if he could accomplish that, he would keep us in bondage and in fear, and God would never move among us. And so it's what Goliath said, choose your man for yourself and let him come down to me. I think Satan's saying this finally, all right, God, you never worked through anybody but men. Find your best man. I got my best man. Let's get it on right here. We're going to fight it out right now, once and for all. We're going to see who's going to be ruler over this earth. We're going to find that right now. And I believe in my heart, God says, I'm going to send you a boy. But more than that, I'm going to send you a baby. I've got a man. It's my son, Jesus. He's going to come down, and he's going to fight this battle. Well, that's not fair. He's not a man. He's not a man. Well, we'll just take care of that. He's a man now. He's going to be born a baby. And he's going to go through a man. And through his faith, the world's going to be redeemed. And through one man, the world was condemned. And through one man, the world was set free. Brilliant idea. Brilliant. God's amazing. And he's still looking to use men and women today that say, God, I'm ready to be used of you. God, I'm ready for you to use me. God has a power that he wants to unleash in our life. And it comes when we partner with him. Today, let's stand to our feet this morning. How many today, just as you're looking at me, say, Pastor, man, I want this year, I want to say I'm ready to partner with God in a way I never have before. Anybody here want to raise your hands? That's me. I'm ready to partner with God. I'm that, man. I want to dream new visions. I want to have a bigger vision. I want to have a bigger dreams. I want to believe God. I want God to get me out of my comfort zone. I want God to stretch me. I mean, I'm praying some pretty big prayers in my life. And I know that I'm stepping out of faith on some things in my life. And I believe God's going to do that. And all of us here, God's wanting to do some big things. So we're going to have to say, God, I'm ready to step in. I want to be obedient. You told me I can walk in health, and I'm going to learn to step into this and be obedient. I can walk in blessings in my finances, and I got to learn to trust you and give you my part. I got to learn to step in to a good marriage, and I got to learn to quit being so selfish. I got to learn to trust in you and let you release what your word says can happen in my marriage by me doing my part, then releasing your power to do the rest. Until when we unlock his power, whew, it's more than we could ever do. It's supernatural. We only have so much we can do with the natural, but that's what God's looking for. Just an ounce of faith, just an ounce of stepping out and saying, God, I believe in you. God, I trust in you. God, we're going to move in you. We're going to put your word to the test here. We're going to believe in your word and step out of it and see what God does in your life. I'm excited as I think about this. I look around and see where God unlocks the power that he's wanting to pour out into your life, the power that he's wanting to give you today. Today, I want us to, most of you lifted your hands today, so let's just lift our hands one more time to the Lord. It's a sign of surrender to him. Father, we lift our hands up to you today. Thanking you, God, that you are God of power. And God, as we partner with you, Lord, we know today that, God, you are in control of our lives. You are in control of everything that we do. And God, we know that, God, as we step out and we partner with you, that, God, all things are possible. With man, things seem like they can't be done. But with you, it is possible. All things are possible through you. God, today, the thing that looks like it could be very dead, looks like it's already buried, Lord, can be brought back up to life again. You can do a miracle in our situation, God. We put our trust in you. You can do a miracle in our marriage, in our finances, in our health, in our relationships, in our job. You can do a miracle, Lord, in us. You can do a miracle in this church. You can do a miracle in the city. God, but you're looking for somebody who says, I want a partner. And God, right now, I pray the Destiny Church will be full of people who say, God, we want to partner with you. God, we want to step out on faith with you. We're willing to be tested. We're willing to walk through the fire. We're willing to do whatever you ask us to do. God, we're willing to do to see your supernatural power poured out upon our lives, upon the city, upon this region. God, we believe it today, God. We step out. And say, God, use us. Help us to step into alignment with you, God. We want to be full of your power. Not just to have knowledge of you, not just to know who you are, but to know you, God, in a powerful way, in a way that is supernatural in our lives. That, God, people look at us and say, there's something different about them. because they're walking in a supernatural power that only comes from God. And every one of us here has that potential. Every one of us here can walk in that, God, through faith. And so today I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that God, with our hands lifted up, Lord, that today, that through your Holy Spirit, you are imparting in us a new faith, a new boldness, that in 2010, that God, we're going to walk in a fresh anointing. We're going to walk in a fresh power. We're going to walk in fresh health, fresh relationship, fresh vision, fresh financial situations. God, we're walking in new things, God, in you. Through the power of your Holy Spirit today, we thank you together. We say together, amen. Amen. Wow. Walk in the new power this week. Walk in it today. Say, today is my day. This week's my week. This year's my year. I'm going to line up with what God wants to do. Thank you so much for coming out today. I just once again appreciate you very much coming out today in a weather like this. As long as it's not icy, we'll continue to be open, okay? If you can make it, that's great. If you can't, I understand. But God bless you. You have a great, great week and a happy new year.